We now present The Adventures of Marco Polo. Kin Sai succeeded in winning the heart of Pen Tan, the ruler of the rich province of Zai Tun. But Pen Tan was an honest man, and he realized that Kin Sai was betrothed to Marco Polo. Eventually, Pen Tan and Kin Sai spoke with Marco Polo. Pen Tan confessed that he had come to love the daughter of the robber chief. Then Marco Polo agreed to release Kin Sai from her betrothal on condition that Benedetta should be released and sent back to Italy. Pen Tan agreed to these terms, but just then Toktai entered with the news that Kublai Khan would arrive in Zai Tun on the following day. Pen Tan hurried away to make arrangements to meet the great Khan. Then Toktai told Marco Polo that he had evil news for him regarding the messenger whom Marco Polo had injured.
You say that you have evil news, Toktai. What has happened to the messenger? Did he die?
No, Marco Polo. He did not die.
Ah, then at least my life is not forfeit.
Hear me. The messenger recovered, and the physician said that his recovery was little short of a miracle.
Then what have I to fear?
Patience, Marco. Let us hear what Toktai has to say.
The great Khan is on his way here. He called at the stronghold of Manji and stayed there for a night, because now Manji and Kublai Khan are firm friends. The messenger had made a good recovery. He went into the presence of Kublai Khan and told him that you had attacked him.
Was Kublai Khan furious?
He was furious. He said that you had disobeyed his orders and broken your promise to him.
But I did not mean to attack the messenger. I merely strove to restrain his horse.
You are too headstrong, Marco. Tell me, Toktai, does my brother Maffeo accompany the Khan?
He does. And Maffeo Polo has persuaded the Khan to allow two members of the Polo family and their servants to return to Venice, taking messages to the Pope.
Does that mean that I am not to be allowed to return to Venice?
Marco Polo, the Khan will decree that before you can leave this land. You will have to fight for your life.
To fight for my life?
The messenger from the court of King Pen Tan is called Krishra. He is a mighty swordsman. And it is the Khan's decree that you should fight a duel with this man.
But I do not know how to use a two-edged Chinese sword.
I am telling you of the Khan's decree.
Marco, go now. Fly to the waterfront. See if you can find a boat to take you to Venice.
Well, but father, you know I cannot go now. I have sworn that I will not leave here without Benedetta Corsini.
But you cannot fight this duel. You heard what Toktai said. This Krishra is a great swordsman.
Well, I must take my chance. Maybe when the Khan hears my story, he may relent. But if anything should happen to me, father, I charge you to take Benedetta Corsini back to her own people.
A charge that I will accept. But I think you are foolish to remain here until the Khan arrives.
Well, if the Khan thinks I am missing, might he not put you to death? Might he not wreak his vengeance upon my uncle Matthew?
That is true.
Oh, it seems that fate is against us, just as the clouds appear to be clearing.
Is there aught that I can do to aid you, Marco Polo?
Yes, Toktai. You can give me lessons in fighting with a two-edged Chinese sword. I shall strive to give a good account of myself when I meet Krishra.
I will give you lessons, but it takes a long time to master a Chinese sword.
Oh, well, I will do my best. Now I must go to speak with Benedetta. No doubt she has already heard the glad news.
Tell me, what has happened?
King Pen Tan no longer loves Benedetta. Our plan succeeded. He desires now to wed Kin Sai. Hear me, Toktai. Rest yourself. My father will send for some refreshments for you. I will return soon to take a lesson in fighting with a Chinese sword.
Marco, I fear for you.
Oh, courage, father. The Khan does not arrive until tomorrow. Mayhap when he hears my explanation, he will relent. Now I must go to speak with Benedetta.
Polo, what does this mean? Did you not give me your promise that you would not attempt to speak with Benedetta Corsini?
Have you not heard the news, Tarpinzu?
I have heard that Kublai Khan arrives in Zai Tun tomorrow.
Have you not also heard that Pen Tan no longer desires to wed Benedetta?
Speak you the truth?
I swear it. It seems that Pen Tan has now set his heart on marrying Kin Sai.
You are a cunning dog, Marco Polo. It seems that your ruse succeeded.
Have a care, Tarpinzu. This palace is a great place for gossip, and these sentries have heard all that we have said.
These sentries are my men, and the men of my army are not in the habit of gossiping.
Then they differ from the men of all other armies in the world.
Mayhap they do. I have trained them myself.
Now I beg of you, let me enter that room that I may speak with Benedetta Corsini. She is free now.
I desire the great Khan to look upon her when he arrives tomorrow.
Why deprive her of her freedom?
I have not the right to bestow freedom on Benedetta Corsini. That right belongs to Kublai Khan. You will ask the Khan's permission before you marry. And I have heard that he is not pleased with you, Marco Polo. There is little matter of a servant who was badly injured when you attacked him.
I will explain that to the great Khan tomorrow. Meanwhile, let me go from these doors to speak with Benedetta Corsini.
So be it. You may enter these doors, but the sentries will remain on guard here, and Benedetta will not be allowed to leave. Stand aside. Let Marco Polo enter, and when he comes out, see that he comes alone. Go, Marco Polo. You are a likable rogue, and I wish you well.
I thank you, Tarpinzu.
Benedetta.
At last you've come to me. Oh, Marco, I've missed you so much.
Oh, my loved one.
What news?
All is well. At least nearly all is well. Pentan no longer has any desire to marry you.
Oh, may heaven be praised. Then we can be wed, Marco Polo.
Well, first we have to ask permission of the great Khan. It seems that I have to fight a duel.
A duel?
Oh, fear not. I will be fighting for life and love. And if I succeed in the duel, Benedetta, we shall sail away together, leaving the wonders of the Orient to go to our own peaceful land.
And Marco, when can we go?
Not until after the Khan's arrival. Other lives depend on me, Benedetta. My father, my uncle, and my servant will be in danger unless I can win the good graces of Kublai Khan.
You must win. You're so strong, so clever, Marco. I've been through so much. But now I feel that happiness is in sight.
Happiness is in sight, Benedetta. And I swear that no one shall dash the cup from our lips.
Oh, hold me fast in your arms. I love you, Marco.
Oh, and I love you. Life means so much to me now, Benedetta. And I will not sell it cheaply.
Will I see the great Khan tomorrow?
You will, and treat him with all respect.
You wish me to plead for your life?
Not so. I ask no woman to plead for my life. If I must fight for my life, I will do it willingly. And now I must leave you. My friend Toktai awaits me. He is to teach me the art of fighting with a Chinese sword. One lingering caress, then I will leave you for a little while. Precisely at noon the following day, the advance guard of Kublai Khan arrived at the gates of the city. In the distance could be seen the vast procession. Soldiers in bright pale uniforms, mounted on mettlesome steeds, followed by great lumbering elephants covered with gaily colored canopies. The gates were flung open, and the elephant bearing the great Khan entered. By the side of the elephant, on a mettlesome Arab steed, rode King Pentan, who had ridden forth into the desert to give greetings to his ruler. Pentan's men were drawn up before his palace as a guard of honor. The Khan dismounted from his elephant. He eyed the guard of honor with approval. Then he walked to the foot of the steps, accompanied by Pentan and Matteo Polo. On the steps, Marco and Niccolo Polo were standing together. They bowed low as the Khan approached.
Niccolo Polo, I am glad to set eyes upon you again. Take you my hand in friendship.
I thank you, mighty Khan. I am indeed glad to set eyes on you again.
You may greet your brother, Maffeo.
Maffeo, have you fared well during my absence?
I have fared well, my brother. I am glad to see you again. And the Khan tells me that soon we'll be allowed to return to Venice.
Oh, the Khan is gracious.
My father, hear me. I know one is not permitted to speak to the great Khan unless he speaks first. But he has ignored me. He has spoken no word to me. Ask him if I have done aught to offend him.
A great and mighty Khan, my son Marco makes humble obeisance before you. He gives you his respectful greeting.
I wish no speech with Marco Polo. He is a lying knave.
My son may have many faults, mighty Khan, but lying and knavery are not amongst them.
I have said that he is a lying knave, and that is sufficient. He gave me his promise that he would not harm Krishra, the messenger. And what happened? He flogged that messenger.
I beg that my son be allowed to speak for himself.
I wish to hear nothing from Marco Polo.
I ask justice on my son's behalf, mighty Khan.
Those who lie and deceive me do not deserve justice. It is my decree that Marco Polo shall fight for his life. I am told that Krishra is a mighty swordsman. Therefore, at noon tomorrow, Marco Polo and Krishra will meet on the lawn before the palace. There they will fight until one or the other is killed.
But my son has an explanation to make, Mighty Khan.
Hear me, O great and mighty Khan. You have treated me justly in the past, and I beg that you give me justice again. I do not name all that I have done for you. You know well enough that I have rendered you great service. I swear that I did not mean to harm the messenger. He strove to ride past me, and in attempting to detain him, I but obeyed your orders. But when the messenger struggled, he fell from his horse and struck his head upon a sharp stone. Surely, that was no fault of mine.
That is a simple explanation and a truthful one, Mighty Khan.
The messenger has told me that Marco Polo deliberately pulled him from his horse.
My son pledges his word against that of the messenger.
Pen Khan, you are my ruler here. You hold this province in my name. Now, tell me the truth. Think you not that Marco Polo has sinned?
Mighty Khan, it seems that I have been blind. I have been a victim of trickery and deception. I did not know that Marco Polo had attacked my messenger until this minute when you spoke of it. I say to you that Marco Polo has deliberately set out to deceive you, just as he deceived me. And to use your own words, Mighty Khan, he is a lying knave. He does not deserve to be allowed to fight for his life. He deserves to be executed.